Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
It is Friday. Yay, Friday. Good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU. You can also tune in at 106 FM. I think they have... It's digital, so you can go like 106.1 is us, 106.2 is the sport. It's pretty cool stuff. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Mello is here as well on a Friday. Hi, Mello. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
Thanks for coming on today. I appreciate you being here. I haven't seen you for a couple weeks.
I know. How was Yellowstone?
Two weeks ago today, as a matter of fact, last time I saw you. It was good. I was impressed with the... In fact, I wrote an article. I might as well push my article, 890kdxu.com, about kind of my case for why it's worth the 622-mile drive. Yellowstone is so... It's sprawling, so vast, so it has so much variety. Like we have, and don't get me wrong, I love Zion, I love Bryce Canyon and Capitol Reef, and you know, you got Arches and Canyonlands over Moab, but Yellowstone offered something. There's so much variety from the waterfalls, the cliffs, the hiking, the lakes, the baby animal. I mean, I saw a little baby bear in the wild, not in a zoo. It was by the side of the road, and we saw moose and elk and lots of bison. At one point, we came around the corner. There was a herd of bison maybe 50 yards off the road, and I'll bet there was 200 of them. Yeah, including little calves and stuff. I guess that's what you call a baby bison, right? A calf?
I don't know. I say bison.
Bison, yeah. but it was a good experience. We stayed in it was kind of funny. We rented and you're always, it's kind of a crapshoot when you rent a VRBO, right? You try to read the reviews and so we rented a VRBO, big house so that could fit all our kids, and we ended up with only one grandkid there out of five, but a big enough house. But in order to find this place, we kind of had to rent one that was about an hour from the park, out in the middle of kind of nowhere in Ashton. I say in Ashton, near Ashton, Idaho. So, you know, first time you go to a place, you enter the address. But in Idaho, in rural Idaho, in the middle of the potato farms, there are no addresses. It's just a farmhouse in the middle. So we put the address in, what we thought would be the address, what they had on the website, and it took us, we weren't even close. We were like 8 miles away in the middle of these four-wheel drive dirt roads. I was glad I had my truck, by the way. Finally, my son-in-law, who was riding with us, said, how about I just enter the GPS coordinates? And he entered the GPS coordinates, which identified that we were like 8 miles away from where we were supposed to be. And it carved out a way for us to get there. Unfortunately, the way to get there was, I mean, like I said, four-wheel drive necessary.
Wow.
It was pretty brutal. But we eventually found the place, and it turned out to be, had a fire pit in the bag and had enough room for everybody. The only bad part was the uninvited mice that were there.
That's an exit strategy one for me. No.
my wife, the very first, like within an hour of us getting there, she's doing something on the kitchen sink. She's unpacking stuff, and she goes under the kitchen sink to get something, maybe, I don't know, dish soap or something. And there was a mousetrap with not one, but two dead mice in the mousetrap. And, of course, my wife did what a lot of women do. Not all, but a lot of women. She screamed.
That's me.
Yeah. And then she said, you guys got to get this out of here, because she didn't want anything to do with it.
No, not touching that.
And so it was me and my son and my son-in-law. We were standing there, you know, within 20 feet of her. And me and my son, being blood relatives, banded together and elected my son-in-law to go get the dead mice. So he had to reach in there and get
awful.
The dead mice.
No.
I was amazed that a mousetrap could kill two mice at once. Because, you know, I mean, this is the old-fashioned snap, you know, the old mousetrap, as old as there have been mice, there have been mousetraps, it seems like, and it got two of them.
They must have been traveling in pairs.
I guess. So I don't know. They weren't Siamese mice, you know, they were two separate mice, but yeah, it killed two of them.
That's lucky.
So
a dead mouse is better than one that's alive for me.
They were pretty big. They weren't rat big, but they were big mice big.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, yeah, that was a fun experience. Have you been to Yellowstone?
It's been eons.
Yeah, that's how I was. Mm-hmm. I had been there, but it was like 43 years ago. It was a long time ago.
Right, when I was a kid.
Yeah, same here. And so I really didn't remember much.
Yeah.
But it was cool. You okay over there?
Yeah, I just... Something funny. I take out my earrings when I come on the show for the headset.
Oh, yeah.
And I grabbed two earrings, and they are different earrings.
They don't match.
They're similar. One's big and one's small. I kind of got them in the dark. My husband was still sleeping.
Maybe you'll start a trend, because my daughters used to wear the different colored socks, right? On purpose. They, you know, that was like the thing when they were in school. Oh, yeah, nobody wears the same color socks. I'm like, I think that trend started by someone who got up and got dressed in the dark.
Yeah. I think I might wear them today just to see if anybody notices, because they're similar, like stones inside of them. We'll see. I might. Right. It's funny, though. I'm glad I found out now, though.
Let's give a couple of news updates, Mello, before we get rolling here. The Forsyth Fire, that's the Pine Valley Fire up there. Up to 10,600 acres and 8% containment. That's the bad news. The good news is they have done a good job of setting up a line to protect the towns and the buildings. And so in 44 minutes, Pine Valley residents, Grass Valley residents, and Gray's Ranch residents are allowed to go back home.
Oh, nice.
So they are told to be on kind of, they call it set status. In other words, be ready to evacuate at any time in case the wind shifts. But they are allowed to go back home and check on their houses and whatever else, maybe farm animals, whatever else might be there. So that's good news.
Did you hear how many structures were lost?
There were
Final count?
It was 13.
13.
Okay. Yeah, they were floating around 14, 17, whatever. It was 13. The official number is 13, yeah. So, I thought this was interesting. At the end of the Wire story, it talked about how the Dixie National Forest around the fire remains closed through next July 31st. And they said that includes trails, summer cabins, and the Pine Valley Recreation Area. Nobody's allowed to go recreate in Pine Valley for a month or so.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a little bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
That other big fire in Utah is that France Canyon fire up by Bryce Canyon, and that is actually like three times the size of the Forsyth fire, 27,746 acres, and it's in a rugged area. They're having a hard time really knocking that one down. Between the two fires, over 1,500 fire personnel are fighting those two things.
My goodness.
Yeah. Also, two more measles cases in Utah. That makes five total in-state people, two of them in southwest Utah. And these last two that were just reported this morning are pregnant women.
No.
Which is kind of the most vulnerable people for measles, because that can maybe cause a miscarriage or maybe some kind of health problems for the unborn baby.
Yeah, so it's so sad, because these were eradicated diseases.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, if you are vaccinated, you have a 97% effectiveness. You will not get it. 97% of people who are vaccinated will have no chance of getting measles. However, if you are not vaccinated and you are exposed, you have a 97% chance of getting the measles.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know there's anti-vaxxers out there. I'm not one of them. Like you said, this was all but eradicated, Mel.
Right.
So measles shouldn't be a thing anymore. It just should.
I know. It's so sad. And it's really sad, because with this latest thing with COVID, it's just going to cause a lot more people to become non-vaxxers.
That's true.
When, like, my parents both had polio, and then we got the polio vaccine, and nobody else had to suffer with polio. And it's a disease that still affects my dad. So it's just really sad to see that.
One other news story. There's a guy driving through Washington County from California. His name is Khalil Collins. Decides he's going to speed through the county. And when police go to pull him over, he decides he's going to go faster instead of stopping.
Mm.
He ended up crashing his car near Pintura on I-15. Police say he was going upwards of 140 miles per hour. So they get him. He had a gun with him. I guess he was on parole, so he wasn't supposed to have a gun.
So he was worried about that.
So he's running. After he crashes the car, he jumps out and starts running away. He has the gun on his person. He throws it over in the bushes, thinking the police won't see him throwing this large black revolver, you know.
They usually miss that with their cameras,
too. Yeah. And then anyway, they finally get him arrested. They put him in the patrol car. And while they're investigating the crash and the scene and stuff, he jumps out of the patrol car with his handcuffs on.
No.
They have to run him down again. And they do finally, and he is under arrest. He's in purgatory right now, but holy cow.
So is that like evading police twice? Is that a double charge? Yeah,
right now, felony escape, weapons violations, drug possession. Yes, there were drugs in the car.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, he's in big trouble.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, there's different choices you can always make, but those weren't good ones.
While I was in Yellowstone, what were you up to? Did you do anything fun while I was gone, by the way?
I started another job because I like to just keep
myself. Another job? Wait a minute. What?
I don't know if you heard about this one. I probably told you. So Keller Williams, I'm a realtor.
Yeah, yeah.
They
and you're like now the manager of the office or something, right?
So I'm the assistant team lead. So I'm
assistant
learning.
Okay.
I'm learning the office and I'm starting recruiting.
Oh.
So that's my other job, and I kind of started.
Are you
going
to recruit me? Are you
agents? If you know any agents or new agents,
go to agent school.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll put you through school. So you just let us know. So I've been making lots and lots of calls, meeting lots of people, starting to get, I got my first appointment yesterday. So anyway, it's been.
And this is in addition to also trying to sell homes at the same time.
Right. And I have another home under contract and another listing coming. So yeah. So I'm just a little frazzled, and I've got my big 4th of July party coming up.
I know.
And my dad just went back to California with my sister for his health. I've just had. Just some stuff going on, but it's all good.
Yeah. How about the kids? Are they being better?
Well.
That's a no.
I did find a place for my daughter to live.
Okay.
It's only $600 a month. It's a room, and she just has to have $900 to move in, so she has to have $600 plus $300 cleaning deposit.
Okay.
Went and checked it out.
Is she going to get kicked out because of certain habits she has?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because she's not blatant about her activities. So now she's like, I don't know if that's where I want to live. I'm like, well, do you want to live there or Switch Point? Like, which one looks better to you?
There's a bridge over in Washington City. You could live under that.
Right. I mean, and then she got paid, so she has some money from her job. And so I was like, do you want me to take, you know, a couple $100s and I'll put it aside for you? Because her problem is not actually making money when she works. It's holding on to the money she makes. And she's like, no, I want to hang on to that. I'm like, the last time you had $450, it was gone in about 4 days. So I don't know. There's not much I can do about that. But I did get to see my grandkids last weekend. So that was really fun. We had a family reunion. And I got to see my sister and my sister's kids that had passed away. So it's been a good, busy week for me.
The kids didn't pass away. The sister did.
Yeah, my sister passed away. So her kids that are adults now and their kids, so. That's who
they're all grown up.
Yeah, they're all grown up.
Okay.
They're all grown up.
Okay. Well, a couple of things I wanted to talk about that we've already used up like 12, 13 minutes. But one of them was I found this article online, and it's not one of the usual sites I go to. This one's called fusionair.org. I don't know what that means, but it's an article written by a school teacher. And, you know, I've said before, I grew up in a house, my dad was a teacher, so I have a special love for teachers, and I understand the special kind of personality it takes to be a good teacher.
The heart of a teacher, sure.
You know, and I get in trouble sometimes because I have teachers tell me we don't make enough money. And I've said it many times, look, I graduated college the same time as my sister. She went into teaching, I went into journalism. She made more than me, and she got summers off. So I don't to me, I don't buy they don't make enough money.
I don't think they make enough money.
You don't think they do?
No.
Okay. Because what was your reason? Because a math teacher makes, a high school math teacher makes 80 something thousand a year. That's more than I make.
I didn't know they made 80,000. Are you sure?
Uh-huh. I have a friend who is a high school math teacher.
Okay.
And they don't work June, July, and part of August. Well, I don't know. I just.
But they can have that salary spread across the whole summer too, so they're not missing.
They do. And that actually is one of their points of contention. They're like, we don't even get paid for the summers. We have to spread our salary out for the rest of the, I'm like, yeah, but what do you make a year? That's still more than I make. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's a whole big argument. I don't want to get into it today. And I know there are teachers that are mad at me when I say stuff like that. And, you know, my sister's a teacher and, you know, but I do recognize, so it takes a special personality to be a good teacher. You can't just show up to work and work, but it also takes a special personality to be on the radio or to be, you know, a businessman or mm-hmm. to be, you know, and so I'm not ungrateful to teachers. I think they're wonderful and amazing. But I don't buy the claim that they don't make enough money.
That's, I don't know. Have you ever sat in a room with a bunch of 14-year-olds?
Like, yeah.
I think they should get paid more. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I sat in a room with 5-year-olds on Sunday, and I didn't get anything for it. So.
You got blessings. You got blessings. Paid.
Okay. All right. Anyway, back to the teacher thing. So this teacher wrote this article for FusionAir.org, and I just love the article. It's talking about the... So... AI, basically the idea behind the article is AI is ruining school. Hmm. Because they said instead of, like you see, they referenced someone who wrote an article about how AI is ruining college because college kids are using AI to help them write papers. And he said, try high school. He says, not only is it ruining, is it, you know, helping them write papers, it's actually writing the papers for them so that they're not even learning how to write the papers.
Yes.
They're not learning anything. All they're doing is they've learned how to look things up. If you ever have a conversation with someone and you think you know something, mm-hmm. hey, you know what, do you remember what was number one in 1988? And I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. And within 8 seconds, there are 3 people in the room with a smartphone who have already looked it up.
It's true.
Well, actually, you're wrong on the pop charts, the Billboard Hot 100. That you, and so I feel like we are watching a kind of a revolution in education, and it's not a good one.
Right, and it's going a little deeper. I've been taking some classes on AI this last week, mm-hmm. and the AI is getting so smart that, like, I have it for my email now. I have, like, this extension that I've added to my email. It's called Folio. And so it'll take all of my emails for my contracts, and it'll sort them into
really?
The different...
Yes. So you're using AI to benefit you.
Yes,
that's
but
good.
Then there's another back thing. I haven't purchased it yet. I'm considering it. It's called Superhuman, and it'll go through all of your emails. It'll tell you like what you could or should answer, and then it'll start learning your writing style, and it will it'll formulate your email in your voice.
Wow.
And then but I did hear there's an agent, I was talking to my friend and he's up north, and he has a virtual assistant, like an AI assistant. Mm-hmm. He's getting sued for something the virtual assistant did.
Uh-oh.
In his name.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so I mean, well, it goes deeper than that, too.
Did you hear that story about the lawyers that used AI for research for a law case they were working on?
Oh, no.
Only the AI couldn't find a case, so it made one up. And those 2 lawyers got disbarred.
No way.
They lost their careers because AI lied for them.
Yeah, and another thing I heard is that people that are using ChatGPT, because I do use it, like when I'm writing my property descriptions, mm-hmm. I'll put in all the points I want to make about it, and then I'll ask it to help me write it with fair housing rules in mind and stuff like that. But when I have my daughter help me, she's my assistant, she's like, I'm not using ChatGPT because I don't want my brain to turn to mush. And so I was like, well, that's an interesting kind of thing to say. So I was looking it up, and there's some studies out, and it shows that ChatGPT users exhibited lower brain activity and weaker mm-hmm. neural connectivity compared to those who relied on their own cognitive abilities or search engines.
And that's actually right into the point that this Bretton Sheridan was making on this article was, we think we understand the problem as adults, but in high school, they're not only are they looking for the answers, but they're not even thinking about what they're looking for. They're just... boom, boom, boom. What's the answer to this?
Right. And it's not even writing it down. It's copying and pasting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The other thing this teacher, Sheridan, is his name. He said one of the other things he said, we have a no phones in the classroom policy.
Mm-hmm.
He said the problem with that is who's enforcing it? Well, the teachers are. Well, all of a sudden now you're setting up an adversarial relationship between your teacher and the student and their connection to this phone.
Yeah.
And they said that has never really happened. I mean, yeah, there have been kids that maybe, you know, in the past brought in their, you know, a squirt gun or a calculator or whatever. Mm-hmm. But this is way bigger than all of that, because these kids have developed such a relationship with their phone. They rely on it for everything. Mm-hmm. And the teacher is saying, you can't have that. You can't use that.
Right. It's true, because if I forget my phone, I am turning back around like in a half a second, because I've realized mm-hmm. I've forgotten my phone when my music doesn't come on in my car. So
here's the thing that kind of I've been thinking about with it is, what's the answer? Because immediately right now, legislative, the answer is no phones in class, right? Well, okay, I guess that's a pretty good answer. But like I said, that sets up a whole different set of problems. But what else is the answer for these kids not wanting to learn, but simply, and they even make a good case. I've had kids say, I don't need to learn how to spell. I have autocorrect. I don't need to learn how to write a paper because this will write it for me. Mm-hmm. Why would I even do any of that?
Yeah.
And you know, to us, the answer is, like you said, your brains are turning to mush if you don't mm-hmm. learn. But to them, they're like, I don't need to learn because I've got stuff to do it for me.
I know. And it's not only that. Like, there's a lot of things we're not teaching kids to do that we used to teach kids to do. Mm-hmm. Like, they've even changed the way they teach math. Like, it's not just 2 + 2 = 4. It's like you get to write a little box around it, and you get to go around this little circle and figure out why 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
And new math, right?
And, like, my 15-year-old, she had to sign, like, an application. She couldn't sign her name. I gave her the name Lydia because L is such a beautiful letter
mm-hmm. it is.
To write in cursive.
In cursive, yeah.
And hers looked like 5 M's. That was her signature. Like, she doesn't know how to write her name in cursive. And I'm like, dang it.
Somebody once told me, you want to confuse a Gen Zer, just write something in cursive. They'll never be able to figure it out. That's code to them. But,
right. Or own a stick shift. They'll never steal your car.
Yeah. Right. Directions on how to use a stick shift in cursive. They'll be in big trouble.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. You know, for a long time, the school system in America became adversarial. And mm-hmm. even when I was in school, and that was a long time ago, let me tell you, even then, I have to be in school. I have to learn. And, you know, there were a group of students that embraced that, and they wanted to learn, and they wanted to be smart, and they wanted to compete on an international level, mm-hmm. you know, with their brains. But there were a whole nother group of kids. And I would say I was kind of on the edge of that, but mm-hmm. the, you know, part of me was like, I got to be here and I don't want to do this. Why do I have to learn about Shakespeare, you know, and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that? There's this group of kids that to them, school is a make you have to, like I said, adversarial thing. And mm-hmm. maybe that's the key to it all. We need to figure out, because if you go to, say, Japan or even some places in Europe, school is something they want to do, mm-hmm. and getting smart is something they want. And we don't have that, I don't feel like, much here in the United States.
No, and I don't know exactly where I've heard all this from, but I have heard another school of thought is that the reasons we have schools in place the way we do, with like the bells and like sitting in the classroom and listening to the teacher and following all the rules, is to train a generation of workers. So that they know, hey, you've got to be to work on time. Hey, you've got to turn in your assignments. Hey, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. And so I'm wondering, like, kind of like with the Montessori schools and other types of schools, where you can kind of train more of an entrepreneurial kind of student. Mm-hmm. So then they would be engaged. And that's why I like the schools that have the trades and stuff, because you're learning something you're interested in that's actually going to benefit you without all of the other superfluous stuff that's not really in the direction you want to go. So I think we could hone it in that way.
There's certainly a case to be made, Mello. You're right that we shouldn't be teaching things that kids are never going to use. Or, mm-hmm. or, you know, I have a friend who's an algebra teacher, and he said every day a student says, "Why do I have to learn this? I'm never going to use it in life. When will I use this in life?" And he says, "You're using it right now, aren't you?"
Oh, that's a rude answer.
That's kind of a bad answer.
It's a bad answer.
So, all right. Well, we're not going to solve this problem today, but at least I thought I'd bring it up and we can think mm-hmm. about it. When we come back, we're going to talk about 12 rules in life as put forth by Jordan Peterson to help make you a little better person. I like them. I read them. They're pretty good. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Mello is here, too, on a Friday as we make our way through the week. Mello, I had on Tuesday no guests. So I was here all by myself. I was like, I'm Mello to talk to.
You didn't call
weird.
Me. I could have come and helped you.
We had a good show, though.
Good. What'd you talk about? Anything cool?
You know what? I'd have to look. People ask me all the time, what did you talk about the other day? I'm like, you know, I talk every day on the radio for hours from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and
just sometimes all runs together, I bet.
I've been, you know, during sportscasts, somebody will come to me like 3 days after I did a game and they're like, hey, I can't believe you said this on the radio. I'm like, did I?
Did I?
They're like, yeah, you said this. And I said, I'm on the air, so I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe I did. Probably I did if you heard it, but I don't remember. Sorry.
That's awesome.
So there's a guy out there named Jordan Peterson. A lot of people, a lot of liberals hate him, although he declares himself an old school liberal. Now, if you remember, the Democratic Party, say, 20 years ago was not the Democratic Party that we have now.
No.
So when you call yourself an old school liberal, you're kind of the moderate conservatives now, or what the old school liberals were anyway.
Agreed.
So Jordan Peterson, some people love him, some people hate him, but I like, well, whatever your opinion is of him, I found a little summary of his book, 12 Rules for Life, and I thought it'd be fun to go over some of those rules right now, if you're cool with that.
I read most of the book, but it's been a little while.
Nice. Okay, so. And remember, when I read these rules, they're somewhat symbolic. Like, for instance, rule number one is fix your posture.
Mm-hmm.
To stand up straight with your shoulders back is to accept the terrible responsibility of life with eyes wide open. Mm-hmm. So he is saying, yes, sit up straight, but he's also saying sit up straight in life.
Right. And right? Control, starting with your body. Like, control your body first.
Right. And mm-hmm. and then if you're calm. So he talks about how humans, all animals, are subject to heredity, and
sure.
We get our, sometimes even our posture by the way we were raised and the way we inherited them. And he said, so you can go into life and say, oh, I'm going to be, my parents slumped and I'm a slumper, I'm going to slump too. And or you can say, you know what, I've decided that I am the master of my own destiny, mm-hmm. and starting with my posture, I'm going to stand up straight.
Right. Yeah, I do. I do like to try and put my shoulders back, because you do get that hump, like, later on in life if you don't have that shoulders back.
He said the other thing, too, is people with low self-perception feel insecure. They're more likely to be stressed, jumpy, and reactive. They make poor decisions, fail to command respect, resources, which reinforces their, well, what he calls a loser complex. So don't slouch, because that says something about you.
That's true. I like
interesting.
That.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Number two, care for yourself like you'd care for someone else. This is a kind of a play off the old golden rule. Mm-hmm. Treat others as you would like to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about that, Mello, how well do you take care of Maddox?
Well, pretty well.
Yeah.
He's pretty special.
Do you take care of yourself as well as you take care of Maddox?
So actually, I had an experience with this exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying something derogatory to myself. I'm like, yeah, you can't have any new clothes, Mello, until you lose some weight. And then I was thinking about it the next day. I'm like, that's a really mean thing to say to somebody. Would I say that to one of my kids?
Never, no.
I'm like, no. So I went out and I went shopping the next day. I'm like, hey, you get some new outfits today, because you deserve it. So, yeah, you've got to treat yourself like you treat somebody else.
I try to, for the most part, I try to treat my sweetheart, Shelly. I try to treat her like the goddess, like the queen that she is.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I'm done being nice to her, I will beat up on myself mentally.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, maybe I don't think about it, but now I'm thinking of it. Maybe I should start treating myself a little better than like I treat her. And, and it's not easy to do, because you people will accuse you of being selfish or of, you know, being self-centered or whatever. But Jordan makes it clear, and I agree with him, you need to treat yourself as you would treat others.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Pretty smart.
Yeah, I like it.
Number three, I like this one. Surround yourself with people who want the best for you. Oh, man, how long, how many times, and sometimes when I have a choice, we're at work and maybe some of the, you know, mm-hmm. work situation, but really when you have a choice to be around people, are you being around people who lift you up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really think as you get into a space where you are being more positive, then the other people who aren't as positive will automatically kind of withdraw themselves anyway. So I think it's about you're kind of attracting the type of person that you
that
are.
You are. Ooh.
Like a magnet.
So if you're around negative people, maybe it's because you're negative, Nellie,
maybe
right?
Maybe you're attracting
perhaps.
That. Yeah, think about that.
All right, well said. I wish I had more time to spend on these, but we're running up against time, so I'm going to keep moving. Compare yourself. So the rule is improve your own game instead of playing others. And then the kind of the little subheading, compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. Now, Mel, I've been involved, you know, covering athletics for, you know, both for newspaper and for radio my whole career. And I can tell you when you're around, especially like track athletes or swimming athletes, they don't care too much about what the other guys are doing. Their most important number, the most important thing they remember is they call it PRs, personal record, trying to beat themselves.
I love that. Marathoners do that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have their PRs. That's a great thing to think about too, because you want to be better than you were yesterday, not beating yourself up for how far you've come.
We're all individual, and so when you compare yourself to that person next to you, you don't know anything about them. Maybe you're racing against a guy who's been a marathoner his whole life, or maybe in business, maybe you're writing against someone who's been a writer their whole life, or et cetera, et cetera. And what the message given here is, don't worry about them.
Right.
Try to beat yourself. Try to be better.
That goes back to that quote you were going to put up on your board, which I don't see yet, which is comparison is the thief of joy.
It's not up there yet, but I have been on vacation.
I'll give you 5 minutes. You got it.
Okay. Number five, teach your children to abide by society's rules. I like the little subheading. Don't let your children do anything that makes you dislike them.
Ooh. Oh, why are you looking at me, Andy?
No, I'm not. Well, there's a glare, so I assume you're over there somewhere, but... Yeah, I got to spend time with the four of my five kids, actually all five of my kids this last week, but one of them didn't come up to Yellowstone, but the rest of them we spent like a lot of time with, and I have to say, for the most part, I enjoyed being around my kids, and so when you say don't let your children turn into something that you don't like, you know, I think that's big. I'm proud to say I've never had to bail my children out of jail. I've never had to, you know, scoop them up off a sidewalk or anything crazy like that. And I'm lucky, I know, but I feel like I've worked really hard to make sure that kind of thing didn't happen. So.
Right. And in the book, he kind of goes deeper into it. Like when your children are little, don't let them speak to somebody in a really rude way that makes you dislike them. Or the other, you want other people to like your children is what he's saying. Because
very
that
well
gives
said,
them a
yeah.
step up, and then you're more well received when you're liked. Like it'll get you further in life. So raise people that people will like.
I know this is stupid, but growing up in the South in Texas, children addressed adults with yes sir or yes ma'am. And it's not military. It's just the way you're raised. If you're 10 years old and you're talking to an adult, you say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. That's just the way you did it. I like that. I miss that.
Yeah. Back east, they did that. A similar thing. I was Miss Mellow to all my friends' kids.
Miss Mellow.
Miss Mellow, yeah.
I like that. All right, number six, and then we're going to cover the last six, the last few minutes of the show. Number six, get your own house in order before criticizing others. In other words, and we're not talking about literal house, well, although we could be, I guess. Set your house in perfect order before you criticize the world. There's so much of that. Look over there. They're terrible. Look over there. Look what they did. And yet your own house is in squalor.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And that I think, again, that kind of ties into the golden rule, right? Do unto others. Well, if you're, you know, I think about traffic, right? If I cut someone off because maybe I didn't see him or whatever, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. If someone cuts me off, I'm like, you idiot, you son of a, you know, whatever. And it's like, that's kind of hypocritical, isn't it?
Right. From now, what I've been working on, because I get angry in traffic too, is when people cut me off now, I'm like, maybe they're running to go get their mom who just called and she fell.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an emergency that I don't know about. Let's just give them some grace. And another thing that he talks about is that personal responsibility is the antidote to resentment.
Ooh.
So if you take...
That needs to go on the wall, too.
I know. I like that one.
All right. I got to get a break in, Mello, and we'll finish with rules 7 through 12 after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show. on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
All right, welcome back. 7:50 on KDXU. I got to get to a couple of texts before we continue on our 12 rules for life. Someone texted in, I believe for the most part, birds of a feather flock together. Mello, we were talking about that. Yeah, it's completely true. Cameron says, he's a school teacher. He said, I see my role regarding AI to help them navigate how to appropriately and ethically use the tools available to them. Well said, Cameron, but a lot harder to say, or a lot harder to do than say, for sure. Yes. And Jan asked about your daughter and ADHD, and I don't, that's not an area I'm an expert in.
That could be. And she's been under the care of psychiatrists, so she's got some other mental things that are going on, but they haven't identified the ADHD, but it could be.
All right, let's get back to Jordan Peterson's rules for life. Number 7, focus on a higher purpose, not instant gratification. I find that similar to being grateful for what you have. Because, you know, I have a thing on my wall that says something like, I can't remember. I might have to turn around and read it. Anyway, basically the idea is focus on what you want the most, not what you want now.
Yes, and that's what this is saying.
Yeah, and so, you know, if you're grateful for what you have and you're focused on kind of a higher purpose, right, then, you know, the little things that come along that are downers, negatives, you can get through them because you've got a bigger goal in mind.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, number 8, find your personal truth and live it.
Or at least don't lie, it says.
Yeah, or at least don't lie. Now, I wonder what that means. Live your truth, or at least don't lie. I thought those would be synonyms. I thought maybe they mean the same thing, but maybe not.
Here's a couple of points it makes. Honesty is foundational for integrity and mental health, because if you're lying, you're going to have the cognitive dissonance, and you're going to want to believe your lie so that you don't have that resistance inside. And then lies distort reality and erode truth internally and externally. So it probably affects not just everyone around you, but it affects your soul, your inside, when you're lying and you're not being truthful.
He also says something about something called a life lie. What do you think a life lie is?
I think what he was talking about that was that you shouldn't, like, just lie to appease somebody. Like, and I usually say things that I'm thinking right away. I kind of call it like,
I'll get you in trouble.
I kind of call it like nice bullying, not in a mean way, but I don't want to say anything about it on the air because this person just got hired. But there's just some things that I can say that will tell somebody what I'm thinking without lying, but doing it with humor so it doesn't offend.
Okay, so here's my question for you, and I've gone over this before in different settings I've been in life, but is there ever a time when it's okay to lie? And I'll use this example. If your wife walks into a room and says, do I look fat in this outfit? What do you say?
And that's a hard one because you have to live with that person.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate honesty because I don't want to present to the world in a dress or in something that is less flattering.
Okay.
So I would rather hear it from somebody that I love who's saying it with love versus being quietly mocked
like
out in the public.
Food on your face or spinach in your teeth, right?
You
somebody want someone you love
you
to tell you.
Yes.
But I have been in a situation where I've had a loved one come to me and they're really excited about maybe a piece, I think it was a piece of clothing they got or something. And they're like, oh, I'm so excited. This is so neat. What do you think?
I would say,
and it's awful. And I'm like, what do I say?
I would say, if you love it, then I love it too.
You're so generous and kind. All right. Number 9, learn to be a good listener. I like it. It says, assume that the person you're listening to might know something that you don't. Now, you know when someone comes up to you and they say, hey, guess what? Right? And they have, and you're like, ooh, I want to hear this. What is it?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we get stuck with people and they're like, oh, boy, here we go. They're going to go on. But if you assume that they have something that you want to find out, it changes your whole attitude, right?
Yeah, then you can want to listen to it, yeah. And I think it's good to be open-minded about what somebody might share that you might not know. And don't listen with the intention of proving that point wrong.
Uh-huh,
and don't listen
we do that, don't we?
With your next sentence in mind.
a lot of us will listen, and when they start talking about, say, you know, I drove 80 on the freeway, and all you can think about as he's telling you this was, well, I drove 90 the other day, so I'm going to show you. All right, number 10, define your problem precisely to make it manageable. Be precise in your speech. What do you think?
I think that's really important, and I think it gives clarity to whatever you're pursuing. And if you name your problem, then it gives you a chance to solve it.
By the way, someone texted and said, regarding looking fat, et cetera, say, not your best look.
There you go. That's a good one. Not your best look.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think you should try that, Andy.
My wife and I have this inside joke. Years ago, we were newlyweds. We'd been married a few months. I bought her this. And looking back, I'm like, what an idiot. I bought her this tracksuit. Back in the day, back in the 80s.
Those were cool.
Yeah, you know, a tracksuit and matching jacket and everything. Yes. I bought it for her. I thought it was the coolest thing. And about a month later, I went to check the oil in the car, and it was in the trunk covered in oil, like she'd been using it to check the oil. And I was like, really? Really? You couldn't have just said, I don't like it, and then we could have returned it. But anyway, she was trying to protect my feelings, I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Rule 11, accept the inequality that exists. Hey, life's not fair. Get used to it, right?
Okay, that's not the one I'm showing, but yeah, okay.
Accept the inequality. Do not bother children when they are skateboarding. I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah. That means don't be a Karen. Don't bother everybody. And that's kind of like with the whole let them thing that we've talked about before. Let people do what they're doing. You're not the boss. You're not the HOA. You're not in charge. Just let other people do their thing. If it's not impacting anything that is your property or your person, then it's really not your business.
I do also like the, you know, life's not fair part of it, mm-hmm. in that I used to think, honestly, when I was young, I thought, well, that's not fair. They should fix it. That's not fair. They should fix it. And we still have a lot, especially people that lean to the left. Everything should be fair to everyone all the time. Mm-hmm. That's not the way life is. Right. I want to have more money. Yeah, I got a friend who is a multimillionaire. He has a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Is he sharing it with me? Not really.
No.
Why? Because life's not fair.
Right.
He worked for it. He got it. I didn't. I didn't get it.
Right. And there's one other point about that, and it's risk is essential for growth. So letting children make their mistakes in your own house, too. Sorry, yeah. I misread that.
Oh, that's a good one. All right. Rule number 12. We're down to 2 minutes. Take time to appreciate the good things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's why I think things like vacation, like going to Yellowstone or just getting away, that stuff's important. It means something. You know, you need to take time to appreciate your cabin in Pine Valley, and hopefully it's still standing, or in Virgin, or you need to go to Yellowstone, or you need to go to your, whatever it is, it's worth the money, it's worth the time, it's worth the effort to appreciate the good things.
Or enjoy the sunrise, you know what I mean? Or find peace in something small that brings your heart joy.
I think a lot of people get on my case because I always talk about how amazing St. George is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to apologize because I think St. George, living in St. George is one of the finer things in life. I am so glad I'm here.
Me too.
I've been here since 1994. I don't plan on leaving because I know how great this place is.
Exactly.
I'm not going to apologize.
No, you shouldn't. You should enjoy the small pleasures of St. George.
Yeah. And I appreciate you, Mila.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming and helping out and being here on Fridays. Someday, you will be my full-time producer, and you'll be here every single day. And they'll pay you big bucks to be here. And you'll make like 1 cent an hour less than me, and everything will be perfect.
That would be amazing. As long as you're the big cheese, I got that.
So, we have used up the time. Mello, thanks for hanging out. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. I think these aren't the definitive, you must live life by these rules. But to me, it's just really great advice.
Mm-hmm.
And not the least of which, again, at the end, take time to appreciate the good things in life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody knows this about me. One of the lines that says, pet a cat when you encounter one. I like cats. I actually really like cats.
I didn't know that.
To have a cat settle on your lap and start petting and it purrs. I mean, talk about positive reinforcement. The cat's purring for you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, love it.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, I'm gonna catch flack for that macho friends. They're like, you're like cats. I'm going to borrow. Anyway, we're out of time, Mella.
Bye.
Thanks for hanging out. We'll be back on Monday. Jack Lancaster will join me on the show here on KDXU.